the name Daniel, I gave you the, you got it on the syllabus, I give you the Hebrew.
If you're interested, how many of you have Hebrew? In the future you will. Daniel, it means in the Greek Bible, it means God is my judge. The word Dan in Hebrew means judge. Dani, the E on the end of the word, means my. And El, God. God is my judge. Simple as that. There are other, I list here biblical references to Daniel. Ezekiel, who was more or less contemporary to Daniel, mentions him. Now, you probably had this in Doc Smith's class. Maybe you had this class on prophets. Which shows that Daniel was, well, Daniel was one of the most famous men in the world. He was a world figure. And therefore, we're not surprised that Ezekiel would make reference to him. And they were contemporaries. And you can look at those references. I'm not going to go into that. Matthew 24:15. This is where Jesus, this is in the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then you're going to get out of town. And if you're out of town, don't come into town. The city of Jerusalem, AD 70. Now, and so there's a reference to Daniel the prophet. Jesus calls him Daniel the prophet. We look at Daniel in the Hebrew canon. As you know, and this is important introductory material. The book of Daniel is in the prophets in the English Bible. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, the major prophets. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, this is the Hebrew Bible, we'll call it Tanakh. You all know that different name, that Tanakh, sort of Hebrew, but a Jew calls his Old Testament his Bible. Tanakh, it stands for, is an acronym, Torah, Law, Nabiim, Prophets, Ketuvim, Writings. I list those for you, Law, Prophets, Writings. Are they Torah, Nabiim, Ketuvim, Tanakh, the first letters, Torah, Nabiim, Ketuvim, Tanakh. Now, so the while the English Old Testament is divided into traditionally law, history, poetry, and prophets. And it's arranged more or less topically. The Hebrew Old Testament is arranged into three sections: Torah, and Nevi'im, and Ketuvim, the law, and prophets, and the writings. Now, interestingly enough, in this Bible, guess where Daniel appears? Daniel is in the writings. Now, not the prophets, not the Nevi'im. Now, in Mishnaic thinking, I list that here. Mishnaic thinking, and in liberal thinking, in Mishnaic thinking, let's get that first. Get ahead of myself here. The Mishnah, this reflects rabbinical thinking in the first century, the days of Jesus. The idea is that there is law, or Torah, prophecy, writings, and there evolved is a theory that the law, this is my wording, not theirs, the law is really inspired. The prophets were fairly inspired. The writings are barely inspired. My language, not theirs. An Orthodox Jew holds that view today.
that, this Tanakh, that the,
when he talks about the word of the Lord,
he usually means the law, the Torah.
Now, you got that, first of all. The law is really inspired. The prophets are fairly inspired, and the writings take them or leave them.
Not for granted. Fairly inspired.
That's the Orthodox view. The critical view of Jews and non-Jews is that, if you ask a liberal critic, where did the idea come from that the Old Testament is the Word of God? The idea, it's a law, but that is, when did the writings of Moses, whoever wrote the Pentateuch, the documents, when did they become, quote, scripture? Well, the critical view is that the law became scripture in 400 B.C. The prophets became scripture in 200 B.C. They weren't written then, but they were regarded necessarily. They came to be regarded as scripture. And the writings in A.D. 90, after the beginning of the Christian era, or the common era, whichever term you want to use. Now, we have two things to look at. Now having to show you where I'm going in this, we are going to consider two things, both of which apply to this. The classification in the Tanakh of Daniel among the writings, the barely inspired, and the dating of Daniel by the critics. Sometimes those overlap. But those are two considerations. Why is Daniel in the writings in the Tanakh? And when do the critics, the liberal negative critics, date Daniel? Now, and you see how this comes together, that the idea that writing became, if the idea that, and note this, if the liberal critics are right, and that Daniel has always been among the writings, and that the writings were not even considered scripture until A.D. 90, after Jesus was dead, and the apostles, then would Daniel have been regarded as the Word of God in the first century? Couldn't be. Understand? If Daniel was written, it belongs in the writings. It was written in 168 B.C. And as among the writings, it was not even considered scripture until A.D. 90. Then Daniel was not considered the Word of God in the first century. What does that do to the idea that of Daniel as a prophet who foretells the Messianic kingdom? Destroys it, does it not? Here's the critical method. This is where I'm critical methodology. The negative critics. Daniel is dated. There are two books. Let me teach it this way. There are the liberal critics. They attack two books in the Old Testament first of all. The book they attack first is, of course, Genesis, because of the creation account. They despise Genesis. The early parts of Genesis, especially. The second book that gets their tender mercies is the book of Daniel. Why? Why Daniel? If Genesis is despised because of the creation account, why is Daniel so readily attacked? Yes, because of the specific character of the prophecies. Very specific. Two see the critical view. The prophets became scripture in 168 B.C. Here's what the critics do. First of all, they date Daniel to 168 B.C. a priori. What does that mean? Without evidence. They just assumed that going in. Daniel was at 168 B.C. Then they insist that the canon was closed before that, in 200 B.C. Therefore, Daniel does not belong in the canon. And then they argue that he was not listed among the prophets anyway in the Tanakh, the Hebrew writers, to support themselves in that. Now, do y'all get that? They say, canon was closed in 200 B.C. Daniel was written 168 B.C. Daniel does not belong in the canon. He's not a prophet. Not to be considered a prophet. What we see in Daniel is history written as if it were prophecy. And then they say, well, look at Daniel not even the prophets in the Tanakh. Seems to hold together. Now, by the way, that's what they teach in Emmanuel. One of the reasons I object to. We talk about those denying the inerrancy of Scripture. It's not simply a view of inspiration. It gets translated to particulars. In Emmanuel, they teach the Daniel from 168 B.C. Now, where'd they get the 168 B.C.? Well, I'll tell you where they got it. We're going to see this, we'll come back to this, that some of the prophecies in Daniel are not, all the prophecies in Daniel are not about Christ. There are the prophecies about Antiochus Epiphanes, we're going to come to this Syrian Greek who desecrated the temple in 168 B.C., setting off the Maccabean revolt. Now, nobody can deny that Daniel talks about the Antiochus Epiphanes. I mean, they probate anybody that tried to deny that Daniel wrote. I mean, that's just a given. You might deny everything else about Daniel, but you can't deny that. Well, if you don't believe, and now this is liberal scholarship, I love it. If you don't believe in predictive prophecy, futuristic prophecy, that's your assumption, your a priori. And Daniel writes about something that happened in 168 B.C. When did Daniel have to be written? Could not have been written before 168 B.C. Because we know these things happened in 168 B.C. And Daniel tells about them, they had to be written after the fact. Therefore, Daniel was written after 168 B.C. Well, that's certainly proves it. Now, is there any external evidence, objective evidence, that Daniel was written in 168 B.C.? No, I don't care. Understand? The dating of Daniel in 168 B.C. is simply the logical conclusion of the a priori assumption that there's no such thing as predictive prophecy. Or to turn it around the other way, to repeat my, if you assume that there's no such thing as predictive prophecy, Daniel could not have been written before 168 B.C., therefore, they argue it was not written before 168 B.C. Now, that is not an argument. That is simply a restatement of the a priori assumption. That is called a tautology in logic. This, you know what a tautology is? Well, this is college, so learn what a tautology is. Neo-Darwinism is a tautology. It's the Greek. Tautos is the Greek word for this. Tautology is this is this. This is this because it is this. A tautology is a circular argument. This is true because this is true. You got that?
Do these same critics discount the prophecies that Christ is referring to? Yes. Not being prophecies.
That idea was imposed later by the church, they say.
You understand what a tautology is? We need to realize how liberals think. Because we conservatives are too often stampeded, we end up apologizing and we owe nobody an apology. We buy things like a liberal machine or something. That's like I said, yeah, like you and I say, I'll give an example of a tautology. All blonde-headed women are immoral. Why is she immoral?
Because she's blind.
How do you know she's immoral?
Because she's blind.
Prove to me she's immoral. She's blind, isn't she? That doesn't prove I don't know what does.
This is this.
It's a tautology.
Why is she moral?
She's immoral.
How do you know she's immoral?
She belongs to you. Daniel was written in 168 BC. How do we know? Because he tells about Antiochus Epiphanes. Therefore, he could not have been. There's no such thing as predictive prophecy. Well, how do you know there's no predictive prophecy in Daniel? Well, it was written in 168 BC. You think I'm making that up? You read their book. That's exactly their argument. They'll say, well, we know that Daniel was written in 168 BC because he tells about things that could not have been known before 168 BC. Why don't you accept Daniel's prophecy when it was written in 168 BC? What evidence is there it was written in 168 BC? That's pretty evidence. Now, there are some arguments offered. Edwin Yamaguchi, under whom I worked at the university, he's my mentor and director of my program. He wrote a book several years ago called Greece and Babylon. And one of the primary arguments, friends, the liberals use in trying to scrounge around for external evidence is they say, well, there's Greek words, Greek Roman words in the book of Daniel. Musical instruments we're going to read about when Nebuchadnezzar makes his band play, these Greek Roman words. And since there are Greek Roman words in the book of Daniel, it must have been written during the Greek period. There was a strong Greek influence in Babylon 1,000 years before Daniel. that argument just won't hold up. Before, I'm 1,000 years before the traditional Daniel, the real one. So anyway, now that's the critical methodology. The 8 prior dating of the authorship of Daniel 168 closed the canon 200 BC to exclude Daniel. And then argue that he's not among the prophets. All because if you don't believe, in other words, they do this because they have to. If you don't believe in predicting prophecy, you have to do this today. Some of the other books, like Isaiah and Jeremiah, their prophecies are ambiguous enough to be something that you can waffle, but not on Daniel. Now, what is that is the methodology. You understand that? Very tricky thing. What is the evidence now? First of all, so we're talking about what the evidence of that. First of all, the tripartite division, the Masoretic text, what I mean, law, history, prophets. The tripartite divisions of the Masoretic text are based on the Talmud, A.D. 400. I look back at the end of May. Turn back, put your finger, I'll put this in the syllabus for you so you don't be there. Look at A1, the end of A. This is the modern Hebrew Bible. Look, this is the tripartite division of copies. Did y'all find it? Okay, the modern Hebrew Bible, law, Torah, prophets, writings. The law is just like the English Bible, Torah, Pentateuch. Prophets, they have the former prophets and the later prophets. You can see what they are. The 12 are what we call the minor prophets. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nehemiah, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. The writings contain our four books of poetry. The Megillot, they list those, and then the historical books. Look at Daniel. You see where Daniel is among the writings. Now, where did this come from? This is in the Talmud. I give you the source, the tractate Baba Batra. If you want to look it up in the Talmud. Question, is the Talmud pre-Christian or post-Christian? Post-Christian, AD 400. Now, it contains Mishnaic tradition and rabbinic comment on the Torah, which is pre-Christian. It's hard to tell what part is pre-Christian in most cases. But this division of it, understand? The division, this arrangement that we have in the Hebrew Bible was not made before the time of Christ. It is post-Christ, post-Christian. Now, is there a listing, a division of the books, a classification of these books that is pre-Christian? The answer is yes. What is our source of information? Josephus. I give you the source here. It's against Avion. Now look, flip back to your addendum. Y'all see where we are now? Stay there. Look back at your addendum. Here is, do not misunderstand me. Did this tripartite division exist before Christ? Yes. But the particular books in each division, that is, in the time of Christ, they talked about law, prophets, and writers. But the particular books in those arrangements, were they the same? The answer is not in every case. Josephus is contemporary of the apostles and of Christ, that is, he wrote late in the first century. He lists the books in the tripart division. Where does Josephus list Daniel? Among the prophets. The Septuagint. What's the Septuagint? Pre-Christian or post-Christian? Pre. 200 years before Christ. Where is Daniel in the Septuagint? Answer, I give it, among the prophets. According to Jesus, what was Daniel? A prophet. Now that is not, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Now that is not, that in and of itself is not conclusive, because Jesus uses the term prophet in a general way sometimes. For instance, and as the apostles, David being a prophet spoke. Moses is often spoken of as a prophet. So that's not, in and of itself is not decisive. But when put with the fact that if you look at Josephus, who reflects the, even though he wrote post-Christian, he reflects the pre-Christian classification, and the Septuagint, which was totally pre-Christian, Daniel is in the prophets. Well, what happened? So was Daniel fairly inspired or barely inspired? Look, before I go on, look at this other evidence. Daniel is cited in the Sibylline Oracles, which were supposed prophetic utterances by the women in Greece and Rome. They were connected with the pagan system of revelation. Regardless of their origin, they date to 140 BC. Now, a forgery needs more time than 28 years to be recognized as a holy book. That is, here's what I'm saying. In the Sibylline Oracles, they refer to Daniel as a holy book. Got it? That's the date. We can date the Sibylline Oracles, 140 BC. Now, so we know that in 140 BC, Daniel was known to the Sibylline Oracles in Greece and Rome, and cited as a holy book. Well, now, if Daniel was written in 168 BC, then we have to conclude that in 28 years, this book came to be universally known as a holy book. Now, this doesn't work that way. Understand? In the ancient world, the idea that Daniel could be written in 168 BC and cited in Rome and Greece 28 years later as, well, we all know it's a holy book. It's a book, it's the Word of God. The divine book is ridiculous. Now, if Daniel was written in the 6th century B.C., then it makes sense. But in the 2nd, give it another 400 years, 50 years to work with. Y'all see that argument? The idea that Daniel was written in 168 B.C. is going to hold up there. In 1 Maccabees 2:59, alludes to the narratives of chapters 3 and 6 in Daniel. Now note this. Daniel is the Maccabean letters were written about 168 and following. Yet they refer to Daniel as, well, the impression you get, which seems to be very clear, they don't say much about it, is this is scripture and they refer to it. Well, how can the Maccabean writers refer to Daniel as scripture? You know, we all know it's the Word of God. Scripture, if it's just being written. Understand? It's clearly cited as an ancient book. Also, the Septuagint in Daniel the translation of Daniel in the Septuagint is a very defective translation. As you know, the Septuagint is an uneven translation, you may not know. Some of the books are well translated in Greek, some are poorly translated. Daniel was poorly translated into the Greek. What does that suggest to you? Suggest to you it was not an immediately contemporary book in 200 B.C. Note that the Septuagint, 200 B.C. Where are we? Yeah, about 250 B.C. Septuagint. Now, what I'm saying is in 250 B.C., Daniel was an ancient book. There was some, and the translators, Daniel, how could the Septuagint writers have such a lousy translation into the Greek of Daniel if Daniel was a recent book, a modern book written in Greek?
When did you take the Septuagint? 250
B.C. Well, they said put it later.
Because it's there.
Yeah, because it's there. In contested passages, Josephus has Alexander the Great reading the book of Daniel in 332. Now, we won't go into this text, into this passage, we don't have time. And I give you the source of Josephus. Josephus tells the story that when Alexander the Great, 332 BC, came through Palestine, he went up to Tyre, and he laid siege to it, and he sent down to Jerusalem for supplies. And the Jews said no. And Alexander the Great said, okay, you're going to be that way about it. This is my translation. You're going to be that way about it. You're going to be snotty. When I get through here, I'm coming after you. And so Josephus, according to Alexander the Great, according to Josephus, marches on Jerusalem, going up to destroy Jerusalem. And the priests, knowing that Alexander loved pageantry, he loved the parade, they put on their priestly robes, got up a big ceremony, went out to meet him, and showed him in their holy books, the book of Daniel, the prophecy about his coming. We knew you were coming. Why? Our prophet Daniel calls you the Prince of Greece, and this very clear prediction of you. And so, according to Josephus, in the citation, Alexander was so impressed that this Jewish prophet would know he was coming that he saved that he spared the city. Well, that's what Josephus tells. It's probably not true. Why? Number one, it's unlikely that Alexander would have gone to Jerusalem because he was out of the way on his campaigns. You didn't go to Jerusalem, but you were going to. You didn't go up on the way to anywhere else. And second, we have a fairly complete record of the military expedition of Alexander, and he did not go to Jerusalem. In other words, as far as we know, he didn't. Now, the story may be true, understand? Probably is false. It's a tale. Understand that Alexander explained. In other words, the question is, did Alexander not destroy Jerusalem because he was impressed by the prophet Daniel? Or did Alexander not destroy Jerusalem because he didn't care, he didn't go near it? That's the question. The evidence leans heavily that he didn't ever go near it. But, having said that, listen to the point. If Daniel was not written until 168 B.C., would the Jews of the first century have known that? Very likely the rabbis would have known it. If everybody knew that Daniel was written in 168 B.C., how could Josephus, with a straight face, have the rabbis reading it to Alexander the Great in 332? You got that? That is, Josephus would never have even told the story. It would have had no credence whatever. It would have been just silly. And Josephus was not the business of writing fairy tales. The story would have had no credence if the book of Daniel did not exist in the days of Alexander. See what I'm saying? That is, whether the story is true or not, and it's probably not true, it would not have been told at all had the book of Daniel not been in existence in 332 B.C. Did you get that? That's the point. Now, look at the internal evidence. The historical context of Daniel is the Babylonian and the Babylonian and Persian empires, not the Hellenistic world. And I cite Yamaguchi's recent that. That is the interim. We'll see some. The interim. Is there evidence, to repeat myself, is there evidence in the book of Daniel itself that it was written in 168 B.C., not back in the Persian period? The answer is not a bit. Not a scrap of evidence. That dating is simply based on the assumption which I've already given you. According to tradition, no one, but look at tradition, with the exception of the 3rd century Neoplatonist Porphyry, who questioned all of the scripture, the genuineness of Daniel was questioned by no one until the rise of the deistic movement in the 17th century. Here's what I'm saying. Was Daniel a debated question book in Jewish, early Jewish tradition? The answer is no. Not even more than in the other book, the Old Testament. Daniel, it's interesting, look at this point. Daniel is cited by Ezekiel. Interestingly enough, contemporary critics do not attack the traditional date and authorship of Ezekiel. This is mad, this is crazy. You ask that a liberal, can you take Daniel at face value? Oh, no, the traditional date. Can you believe that Ezekiel was written back in the 6th century? Oh, yeah. But Ezekiel talks about Daniel, cites Daniel. That's just illogical. Okay.
Dr. Chambers, yes. Under the reference to Daniel 4, 14, and 20, I think that's 14. I think there's a typo.
Okay, thank you. What is it?
14, 14, and 14, 20.
Where am I now?
Four.
Which one?
I'm going to go back up to the references.
Okay. In Ezekiel? Yes. I have, what do I have?
It says 4, but I think it should be 14. 414
should be 1414. Thank you. I didn't pick up on that. Thank you. Correct the solar system. Okay, appreciate that. Okay, now, with what we've done, we've looked at the evidence. In summary, is there any evidence, whatever, that Daniel was not written by Daniel in the second back in the time of Daniel to be believed in? The answer is no evidence that it wasn't. Is there any evidence that it was written by? No evidence. The reason for the critical attack, I'm on two now, I've already given. As Pusey writes, the book of Daniel is especially fitted to be a battlefield between faith and unbelief. It admits of no half measure. It's either divine or imposter. The reason for the date of 168, I've already given, some of the negative critics. So the book is either prophecy or a forgery. Since it can't be a prophecy, it's a forgery. But what about the shift of Daniel in the Hebrew canon? We haven't answered that yet. If Daniel, if we know, and we do know, no question about it, Josephus, the Septuagint, and the other things we've cited, no question that in Jesus' day, Daniel was listed among the prophets. Well, then how in the modern Hebrew Bible? If Daniel was among the prophets in the first century, in the fourth century, when the Talmud is compiled, what happened between the first century and the fourth century to demote Daniel? Note this, to demote Daniel from prophets to writings. Why was Daniel, we know that he was demoted. The rabbis took him out of the prophets and put him in the writings. This is why I took time to say, put this on the board for you. But look at the answer I gave in the syllabus. Jews of the first three centuries probably demoted Daniel. We know they did. Question is why they did it, because the Christians were using it so effectively in their evangelism of the Jewish community. Jerome preserves the attack by Porphyry on Daniel, demonstrating that opposition to Daniel was heavy. That is, to summarize this, the Christians were converting Jews by pointing to the book of Daniel. I'm interested now, because I've got an appointment to talk to a Jew, call him a Jewish lady tonight. Her husband's a Christian, she's a Jew. But I'm going to go talk to her. I'm going to talk about the book of Daniel. And so the rabbis said, they said, look, Daniel's a prophet. Look what Daniel says. How can you say Jesus is not the Messiah? And what was their response? Well, we'll just demote Daniel. So they said, well, you know, Daniel is just among the, he's just among the writers. You can take him really. If he's inspired at all, he's barely inspired.
You see, you understand that? They say be motivated to take the cutting edge off. We understand, therefore, that the rabbis took Daniel out of the prophets and put him in the writings for basically the same reason the critics dated to 168 BC, to get rid of the force of futuristic prophecy for different reasons. The critics don't believe in futuristic prophecy at all. The rabbis didn't believe that futuristic prophecy of Daniel referred to Jesus of Nazareth. So because both, for different reasons, wanted to get rid of futuristic prophecy, the critics put him in 168 BC, and the rabbis put him in the writings. What is the evidence? The evidence is Daniel was written in the 6th century BC, and the evidence is very clear that Daniel was written among the prophets. Okay, any questions on that? Well, that's in the Psalms. You don't have to if you review that.
When going up against the liberals and they say it's 168, it should be 168, do you tell them that you believe that it was a prophecy because of the fulfillment in the New Testament? And what do they say about that?
Well, what they say is that the early church, that Jesus didn't say this, the early church put these words in the mouth of Jesus to give credence to their message. You ask what the evidence for that is, they say, well, certainly it wasn't happening that way.
So you're saying Daniel was written in the 6th century and he's
prophet? The traditional date, which was always the date that was accepted. The Jews, you understand? The Jews had no problem with it. Until the church began to use it against the Jews, convert them, and then the rabbis just said then.
You talk to conservative Jews today, do they admit to the emotion?
I don't know.
What you want to do with use as well, right?
You know, if you want the citation, you look back here. This is why I have the arrangement in Josephus. And it's also the arrangement that's Daniel's there among the citizens. Okay, let's move on. Any questions on that? Okay. I'm not going to spend much time on the bilingual character of Daniel. As you know, Daniel was written in two languages, Hebrew and Aramaic. And that was not all uncommon. It's a multilingual world. There are sections in Chronicles written in the Aramaic as well. Now, look at, if you want to know what is in Hebrew and what is in Aramaic, I outline it for you. What is the probable explanation of this? Daniel was written, I'm reading now, to a bilingual world. Aramaic is used in those portions of direct concern to worldly empires, and Hebrew in those sections of special meaning to the Hebrews. That's right. And so you switch back and forth the language. And that seems very strange to Americans, because Americans are monolingual, most of us. Therefore, we just don't think this doesn't ring any bells in our minds. But to a bilingual person, that is not jarring at all. Just switch back and forth. There are additions to the Daniel in the Greek text. As you know, the Roman Catholic Bible contains 22 books that the non-Catholic Bible does not contain, called the Apocrypha. And three of these apocryphal books are touched Daniel. Now, we may not get through this today, but we're doing okay. Flip back to Addendum D, and I put this for you from the New English Bible translation of the Apocrypha. This is the song. This is what we have in the Roman Catholic Apocrypha. The Jews have never accepted these. But the three of these books are additions to the book of Daniel. First of all, the Apocrypha contains the Song of the Three. That is, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were in the fiery furnace, what did they say? This is, you want to know what they said. What they said at song service. This is it. You can read it. The history of Susanna, O Susanna, is a very interesting story about some Jews in Babylon. What it was, there was this God, you can read that. It's a very interesting reading. This very godly woman, a couple of the elders in Israel got the hots for her. She was married. And so they were going to have their way with her. Both of them got the idea at the same time. And so when she would not give in to them, they told the old story that she had seduced them. And so
they didn't know whether would you believe these two elders or not? You take the word against the two elders of Israel against one woman. And so they called Daniel in, his great wisdom. And what Daniel did was separated the two and made them tell their story separately. And the question came down, which tree did this seduction, under which kind of tree in the garden did this seduction take place? And they didn't get their stories down that refined. And one told one tree, one told another. It was true they were lying, that they had made up the story. And so they were punished. You can read that. That's the story of Susanna. Then the story of Bel and the dragon, or Bel and the snake, you can read that. And the Bel priest, the priest of Bel, were putting food in the temple of Bel. In the morning, they had one door in, one door out. They would open the door in the morning, the food would be gone. And they were using this as proof that Bel is a real god. Well, Daniel sneaked in, or Daniel scattered ashes, when nobody knew it, scattered ashes on the floor. And what was happening was, it was a secret door. The priests and their family were coming in during the night, eating the food in the secret door. So Daniel, it sounds like Sherlock Holmes, doesn't it? Sherlock Holmes, it is one of his stories. I forget the name of the story. The gold has gold glass, gold pince-nez, the little glasses. That's the name of the story. Anyway, scattered ashes on the floor. When they went in the next one, opened the door, lo and behold, what'd you see? Footprints, and God's going footprints, and so the priests were praying to that. Daniel's God was, or it was, that's the story of Bel. Daniel's God was honored. The snake, the dragon, you can read that. It's a story about the snake that blew up. Those are stories. Did I go too fast? Were you able to follow this? Okay. Review it in your syllabus and bring in questions.